reading. That's where I am. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, from verse 1 through verse 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. We pray your blessing upon the meditation as we look into it in a few moments, that we might truly remember once again our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into this world. We just thank you and praise you that we have the privilege of celebrating his coming. We're looking forward to his coming again. Thank you, Lord, to know that you are our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. Our Father, this morning we do want to lift up the Meshi family, especially in our prayer, as we know that they are suffering greatly from the loss of their dear one. And we are as well. Thank you for Earl, for all that he means to each one of us. And we pray your blessings upon those who are grieving, that they might be comforted in knowing that your will has been done and that he is in your presence. Lord, we do pray today for others who are going through difficult times. We know there are those who are ill, there's those who are shut in, those who are experiencing various difficulties. We pray for any here this morning who are going through sicknesses or illnesses, that you might be with them in a special way. We pray for Denny Fenstermacher today, as he's not with us because he's ill. We pray that you'll strengthen him. And we pray for others too that have needs at this time, that you might undertake and meet their needs in every way. Lord, lead us and guide us and help us, that we might truly love you with all of our hearts, that we might truly follow in the way that you would lead us, that we might love one another, be willing to forgive, be willing to forget anything that we're holding in our hearts that is damaging us as well as others. Take it away, Lord, and help us. Help us to walk in fellowship with you and know that you have forgiven us of all of our sins. May we be willing to forgive one another. May Jesus Christ be praised. May he be exalted. May he be uplifted, we pray. In his precious name, amen. Isaiah is the evangelistic prophet, you might say. There's more said in his prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, than any of the other prophets, I believe. There are a number of various scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about the coming of the Messiah, but Isaiah is the one who dwells upon it to a greater extent. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote about him. In very dark days for Israel, he spoke of the great light that was coming, as we read here this morning. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. We want to, and this is the last week before our Christmas program and Christmas Day, thinking about the birth of the Lord Jesus. We wanted to think about his coming and the prophecies about that, and how he came to set us free from our sins, to lift the darkness, if you will, that we might walk in the light, that we might be his people. What a wonderful joy it is to know him as our Lord and Savior. In this passage, we see, first of all, the hope of Israel. He came unto his own, the scripture says, and his own received him not, unfortunately. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the reason we're here today, isn't it? Because we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're here to worship him, to show our appreciation for all that we have in him. We find here Israel at this time was in great darkness. They were being assailed by the Assyrian army. Back in chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." So here he's talking about the darkness that came. But the promise is that the gloom and the despair will vanish with the coming of this great light. It mentions here Naphtali and Zebulun, Galilee of the nations. Where have we heard the name of Galilee? It's where Jesus was born. Well, not born, but where he was raised, where he lived most of his life. Galilee of the nations, place that was looked down upon by much of his the rest of the country. But he was the great light that came to that area. They have been greatly afflicted, and now they are honored in his presence. Great joy, it speaks of here. Great joy, like that of the harvest time. You know, when you've sowed the seed, when you've watched the crop come in, and finally when it's all done and you're able to reap the benefits of all of your work. And it brings great joy, doesn't it? Celebrate. And that's what we're doing at Christmas time, isn't it? Celebrating the coming of our Savior. And that's what it should be all about, you know. So often we get sidetracked with a lot of other things. And maybe it's a lot of fun for the children. I was up at the fire station Friday night. We had a good time, sang some of the Happy Christmas songs. And Santa Claus came in on the fire truck, you know, and all. The kids were so excited. You know, it's always a good time. But we have to come back to the fact we did have a message there. Pastor Jack brought a little message about the coming of Christ. And I was glad to see the emphasis that was put on that. We have the good times when we think about Santa Claus and the reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and all that. And I think it's a lot of fun. But we have to come back and realize, what is Christmas all about? It's about Jesus, isn't it? It's about Him. And we shouldn't get distracted from that. We need to realize that that's where our joy comes in, is that this God Himself took upon Himself the form of an infant. And even before that, a preborn baby came into this world that we might have light, that we might have light in our soul, that we might have life and salvation. Great joy that comes, like those that win the battle. Speaks here of the battle and the garments rolled in blood. And all of this, that's all going to be done away. And that Christ will bring victory into the hearts and lives of those who know Him. There'll be no more war. We were talking about that in Sunday school. We finally finished the book of Revelation. So if you want to come out to Sunday school, we're starting a brand new series, Consider Christ. That's a good thing to consider, isn't it? In this day in which we live, right? We need to consider Christ. If you can come out at 10 o'clock. Well, next Sunday, don't forget, though, come out at 10 o'clock regardless. I don't want to confuse you. But anyway, on an ordinary Sunday, we have Sunday school at 9:45, and we're going to be starting a brand new series. So, we find here then the promise of His birth. We come down, we see the great light that's come into the world. Who is this? Verse 6, for unto us a child is born. You know, when a child is born into the world, no matter who it is, and I should mention too, by the way, just popped into my mind just now, tomorrow Denise is going to have a special procedure regarding her baby. And so pray for Denise tomorrow, especially that they might be able to get that taken care of, and so that she'll have a healthy, strong baby. All right? I didn't mean to get diverted there, but anyway, pray for Denise. Okay. And thinking about the birth of a child, it's always it's such a wonderful thing to happen. And I know our grandchildren, we've always enjoyed seeing them when they're little and everything. After a while, they grow up. And then what happens? What happens? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? But they grow up to be like us. And that might be good and it might be bad. At any rate, this special child is born. Unto us a child is born. And he came at the very right time, the scripture says. The fullness of time was come. God sent forth His Son. Born of a woman. Born under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Sons of God. Through Christ. Unto us a child is born. He came unto His own, as I said. They didn't receive Him, but whoever receives Him has eternal life. This child that came at what we consider Christmas time. He came to dispel the darkness. He came to give new life to all those who will believe in Him. Born of a virgin. This is important. You know, some people don't believe in the virgin birth anymore. I've heard about that they seem to think that it's something that's impossible. And is it impossible? Exactly. It may be impossible with us, but not with God. I mean, where did this world come from? Where did this universe come from? You know, all the stars, the planets, and everything else. Our life, where did it all come from? From God. If He's able to create everything from nothing, then could He not cause this young lady to have a baby without a man? Of course. The virgin birth is so important. Born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Let's take a look at that. These are scriptures I know we're familiar with, but we'll look at them. 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Over in Matthew 1:23, let's take a look at that for a second. We find Matthew says that this was done for a particular reason. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Now, we know later his name was Jesus, right? They named him Jesus, which means Savior. But he is really God with us. That's his character. And we can worship him. He's the eternal God who became a human being. You know, we need to realize that God does these impossible things to show who He is, right? And the virgin birth was nothing exceptional to Him. It's something that He did without any effort, and a miracle. That's the whole essence of a miracle, is that God is the one who is able to do it. Why did He come? We talked here about a child being born, and then it says, unto us a son is given. I think the emphasis here, the Son of the living God, the Son of God from heaven, is given. This is the gift. You know, at Christmas time especially, we give gifts, right? And God gave His Son. He came to take away our sin, to give us eternal life. What a wonderful gift that is. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and what it cost Him to give us that gift. He came to do the Father's will. His entire life was dedicated to making God known to man. And then He went to the cross and paid the price that we might be saved for all eternity. What a joy. He lived a perfect life, free from sin. And He died a horrible death to atone for our sins, that we might be forgiven. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in Him and allow Him to work in our lives, you know, to make us new. A son is given. And then it says the government. So Isaiah skips over Elijah, doesn't he? He doesn't get into it later on in the book. He does talk about the death of Christ, his crucifixion, in chapter 53 especially. But here, he talks about he's going to rule and reign as king. The government shall be upon his shoulder. So he's going to have a great responsibility, right? He'll reign in power and great glory. We're still looking forward to that. He's coming again. His death was not the end. He arose again 3 days later after the crucifixion. And we're so thankful that he's alive today. He is with us to help us in every situation. And then it goes into this proclamation of his name. It says, and his name, the name of our Savior, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What have we got? Some people put that together. I know in some of the versions of the Bible it say Wonderful Counselor, and he is, there's no question about that. But he's wonderful in every way, isn't he? You know, I looked up the word wonderful the other day, and it says it's anything that causes wonder or a fascination, you know. And as you study about Jesus and see who he is and what he did and what is still coming, it's all wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful as we think about the virgin birth of Christ and his coming into the world and his life, sinless life. He never had an evil thought. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? You know? His miracles, wonderful. People couldn't understand, and we don't understand how it came to pass. Opening the eyes of the blind, opening the ears of the deaf, and raising people from the dead. My, how wonderful is that? His death. God himself went to the cross and died in our place. Can you imagine that? In his humanity. And he rose again, as I said. Coming again. Wonderful. Skies are going to open up and Jesus is coming. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air. What a joy it is to think about that. But he's not only the wonderful, but he's counselor. He has all wisdom. In him, he's completely filled with all of the knowledge of God. He's always available to be a counselor. You know, if you have a problem, you need to go to a counselor and talk with him. Jesus is always there. You know, we can go a quiet place, bow down before him and say, Lord, I have a need. I need some help here. And he's always there, speaking to our hearts, helping us, giving comfort and strength, guidance. This is what a counselor does, isn't it? And he is our counselor. He's our mediator between the Heavenly Father and us. He's our counselor, the one that we trust to see us through. The mighty God, Jesus, the man, is also the mighty God. All power, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always. He's with us to guide us and help us. The mighty God, the creator of everything. It says, all things were made by him. Nothing is too hard for him. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. It's interesting. You usually think God the Father, but here Jesus is also called the Everlasting Father. We know the everlasting part, certainly. He always has been. He always will be. Father. He is one with the Father. We know that. But he's the one who gives life. You know, the Father gives life, doesn't he? Brings life into this world. And Jesus is a life giver. He gives us eternal life. He told the woman at the well, he says, you know, if you take the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. You won't have to, you know, no more thirsting. He is the one who gives life. And he's worthy of all of our worship and praise and adoration. We can look to him as our Father, the one who guides us through life, just like a father guides his children, hopefully in the right direction. But Jesus always leads us in the right way, doesn't he? He's all perfect in all of his ways. And then, of course, the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace to the heart of the restless soul, the one who is able to take away all distress and anguish, fear. The Prince of Peace, if you know him, you can have the peace of God ruling in your heart. You can have peace with God. And he came to bring peace to a world that's weary and filled with all kinds of conflict. If people would only let Jesus rule, there would be no wars. There would be no more conflicts. He gives peace to everyone who believes in him. We have peace in our hearts today because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. If we have accepted him. I trust everyone here this morning has put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Do you want peace? You know, that's where you find it. It's in him. And if somewhere you're not sure, then you need to make that sure, don't you? And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can have that peace, the joy, the love that he alone can give us. None of us can do it in ourselves, but he can. If we'll only call upon him and ask him to meet our needs. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Okay. Jesus is there. He's the Prince of Peace. And he's going to rule and reign, as it says in verse 7. His government will never end. It'll increase. He'll rule upon the throne of David and establish it with judgment and with justice, righteousness. Righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. When Jesus comes, when he rules and reigns, it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to happen. And we can rejoice in knowing him as our Lord and Savior. That's the wonderful thing. He is waiting for anyone to come to bow before him and receive him, to love him, and to meet the needs of those who do know him. He's always there. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sins, for giving us eternal life. And I pray this morning for each and every person who is here, if there's anyone that has doubts in their heart, may they settle that with you today. Lord, may they call upon your name. May they put their faith and trust in you without fear, without doubt. Cleanse and bless and help each one of us that we might walk in fellowship with you and do your will. Forgive us wherein we fail, Lord, and help us to honor you and serve you in everything that we do and say. May our Lord Jesus be glorified, we pray. In his name, amen.